RSVB Update, episode 430, recorded Friday, September 13th, 2013. Finding Missing No. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for this RSVB update recorded on the 13th day of September 2013. So, if you're hearing this, that means we didn't have any unfortunate events happen to us on the 13th while recording this.
Actually, we did, Clear.
Well, what was that? What was that, then?
You forgot to press the record button.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. That's Mr. J1, J2, J3 in-game. Basically what happened there is I decided that it was time to start. And normally when I start, I say we're recording. But I didn't say that this week, and there was another thing that tipped them off. So thank you for catching that. But
I think that only happens when I'm on the show, because that happened last time, too.
Was that a live show?
Yes.
That was.
I remember that. It was a live show.
Oh, was that the one we redid twice?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Well, yeah. So that's Duke Juker from RSBNB Informer. He writes about games.
Or stuff relating to games.
Yes. Yeah.
Gaming stuff.
The entire gaming universe is your domain. And, I mean, with it being a RuneScape podcast, you do play a bit of RS. You currently have members, so we thought, you know, we don't normally have you on. You're a bit of young blood compared to the rest of us in that you have a relatively untrained account according to ours, opposite of ours. So that's why we had you on this week, to help us discuss the Damenheim task set. So, seeing as I'm not the Dungeoneering expert, what have we got here?
Duke, you want to go first?
You can if you want. I mean, that's, pretty straightforward. Just a task set for Damenheim for doing various tasks in there, either soloing or working with other people. And I think it's a really nice addition for the skill/minigame, whatever you want to call it.
All right.
Jury's still out on that, isn't it?
All right, so in a nutshell, there are 47 new tasks in Easy, Medium, Hard, and Elite. There are some rewards such as a new aura, new lamps, and new powers for the Ring of Kinship. Also released is a new Dungeoneering Hard mode, which in theory means that every monster in that dungeon is maxed, and you either get super, super lucky with food drops, or you're gonna die a lot. But then again, most people who's going to do hard mode dungeon already have 120 dungeoneering, so dying means nothing.
All right. So I got a couple of questions for you pertaining to this. Both of you guys can feel free to chime in on them. So let's start with, rather than doing the tasks first, let's talk about the rewards first. It's akin to eating our dessert before our main course. So the reward for this task set is the aura, so it's the item for the aura slot. What do you think? You think the aura was a good thing to do, or was it something that was just kind of to fill in the space, given the aura slot came out 2 years ago and we haven't really seen any new ones added since?
Well, as I remember, the aura only works in a dungeon, am I correct?
Yes. That's
yes,
right.
I mean, if you think about it, none of the auras work in Dungeoneering, and basically it's an empty spot. The only one that worked before was the double experience aura that was released a couple months ago, during the summer, I believe, or around their birthday. And it's nice to have a little aura down there, because you want to, as someone who Dungeoneering quite a bit, you want to use up every single spot you can, give you any advantage. I always go down there with a pendant just to get a little extra experience and something.
All right. Speaking of this, the first tier of the aura gives you one consequence-free death per day. So I guess that's good. You get a free death. You don't have to worry about dying towards a boss or something like that.
I don't know if that's necessarily that great, because it's only one per day. I mean, or are they saying per dungeon run or just once per day?
Per day.
Once per day.
I don't know how great that is. Well, I mean, if it was like once per dungeon run, that'd be something. But
how often do you guys die in the dungeon runs?
I mean, yeah, you try to avoid dying, but I mean, once per day is not going to be that helpful in the grand scheme of things, especially if you're training a lot, you know, over the course of time. So I guess it's better than nothing.
Well, disagree on your one little point on that is that, you know, most people aren't really going to be marathoning dungeoneering unless it's that's the skill of the month. So I believe, you know, most people really do like maybe 2 to 3 dungeons a day, because after a while it is tiring for many people, and that one dev maybe just enough to keep you from losing that much experience. Especially if you're doing one of the higher ones where you want to max out as much experience as you can.
That's the way I see it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I suppose if you're not doing a lot, then it'd be good. But, you know, for anyone who's doing a lot, then it's probably not going to be that great. So it just depends then.
Also, most people just do 1 or 2 dungeons and then, all right, we'll do the rest tomorrow. So usually that's just enough to save you that one time. And that's usually quite a few times that's what I could have used, but oh well. It happened.
Well, usually when I train, I'm pretty hardcore, so I go at least, you know, like 5 to 10 times at least. So it just depends. Not like large ones. If I'm doing like soloing, it's a lot more often. So.
Also, you get access to the Heimcrab weapon cosmetic override. Is that?
That's
is
stupid. That... I'm going to be throwing crabs at your face.
That's fine.
Yay! Also, you can choose at the start of a dungeon which boss you're going to encounter. What do our dungeoneers think of that?
That sounds a little overpowered.
Which one was it?
Choose which boss you encounter once per day.
I think that one is more for hunting. You're hunting something. Because, you know, let's say, like, you know, some people want to try and farm a specific weapon or armor piece. It would be nice to just have one where you know exactly what boss you're going to fight.
Yeah, like I'm sure you could set it up so you get those shade robes or whatever they are, or the hood, the spider hood, I mean.
So could.
Yeah, because isn't that available for a boss?
No, those are from Night Spiders. They're regular monsters. Okay. They're just a very rare drop. But, you know, like, you know how most people are farming a specific item, you know, just usually try to get a full group of people because it makes it a whole lot easier, and do like C1, and you know, 5 people together, each one of them picks that specific boss. You got 5 chances in a row to try and get that thing, and if you know one person gets it, he leaves, you grab another one, and you have another person who can add in another boss later on, so you gotta keep that going until everyone gets one, or you get, you know, keep repeating yourself.
Also, you're able to choose a secondary ring roll in another class with 25% of its normal effect. So, there's that. Then, of course, the aura upgrades for tier 2, 3, and 4. Tier 2 makes it act like an accumulator and bone crusher, so you can retrieve your arrows and crush bones. Also, an extended resource dungeon on the Daemonheim Peninsula. Also, the ability to bind a potion in a new slot, a supply of law and cosmic runes available from the smuggler for free in every dungeon, and
that's actually
the secondary
pretty decent.
Effect is boosted to 50%.
Well, the supply of laws and cosmics, that's really helpful.
Yeah, because I know whenever I did it, that would be the first thing that I always go in there to grab, so that's good. You also get 2,000 Dungeoneering tokens, and worth noting, at Tier 3, you get 38,000 Dungeoneering tokens, so you get about 40,000 tokens total for doing these task sets, the easy, or the medium and the hard, rather, which is something I would consider to get that many tokens, I think. I haven't exactly looked at the tasks, but definitely thinking about possibly doing that.
I'm looking through it. None of them are really difficult. It's just some of them are annoying, where you had to wear level one, make level one gear and make it and all that kind of stuff. But all the way to hard one, I think Shane, you have a lot of high level skills already, so the only one you really need to worry about is the, I think, what, 90, which one was it? 86 divination, I think, and yep. 95 smithing, which I think you already have, Shane, right?
No, I don't. Or close I don't to have it? 95 smithing.
Close to
but,
it?
No. Before we go on to the tasks, what do you guys think of the, anything else on the aura that you guys want to mention that's noteworthy?
Bone, it acts like a bone crusher.
Okay.
That's good. My book. One less thing on the ground to have to click through. And a little free pair of experience, which is always nice. It acting like an Avar's accumulator is kind of pointless, because once a time, people don't run out of arrows. And if they do run out of arrows, usually because they're using a weapon that's totally bad.
All right.
I think it was good to add the aura. I mean, you know, they add something for each different equipment slot with a new task set. So adding the aura, except it's only usable in Daemonheim. So I wonder if, you know, if they would ever come out with another task set and add a different aura for that. Or this is just it for the aura slot.
Yeah, they could. They could. They could do that. That's a very good idea. All right. So the tasks themselves, you guys have anything... Any one of them that stand out at the various levels?
Oh, use your ring of kinship on a fire in the dungeon. That's a nice little Easter egg. All you have to do is to find out, Shane, won't you?
Well, tell me.
No.
You've done it. You can tell me.
Just a one ring, and that's all I'm gonna say.
Ah.
You'll never get it. Duke May, you won't.
Do you get it?
I haven't done it yet, so...
Okay. One thing that... One of the challenges that... I don't know if this is easy or hard, but you have to complete all the Dungeoneering sagas with 100%.
That one's iffy for me.
That one requires a lot of luck. I mean, you just have to run enough times to get all the different sagas, which takes time in itself, so... You just have to make sure you pick them up at the end of the dungeon, because they always, you know, drop on the floor, and, you know, people are always rushing and like, oh, forgot to pick that up on the way out.
Well, yeah, that's one thing that always annoyed me about that update, is that you just can't go there and do it. And another thing that was annoying people with this is that even if you've done these in the past, you have to redo them for this achievement diary. So, I mean, this is the classic problem with achievement diaries, is that you have to redo content that's painful to redo that you've already done in the past. You'd think after how many of them there have been, they would have changed that mechanic.
Don't you get some reward from
doing the sagas?
I'd say like other task sets, though, just gets people to go back and get into the game or mini game or whatever it is again, you know, like... Yep. Saying you have to go back and do Castle Wars and win a game, you know, I was trying to do that a couple of days ago, and I actually still haven't finished that task because I can't win a game. Everybody either draws or I lose. But.
Complete Three's Company with 100%. That's a saga, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're not talking about the TV show, then. All right, the tasks are fairly simple. The highest things that you need, as you mentioned, are level 98 crafting for the elite.
Yay.
You got that.
Uh-huh.
Also 95 Yay. Smithing and 95 dungeoneering.
95 smithing is the only one, but I think I could pot it.
I don't know. You need to craft a Promethean full helmet, so I guess you could. But I know there have been achievement diaries in the past where they've disabled the potion aspect of it.
Didn't say they did, but...
I'm looking on the wiki and it says you can boost your smithing for that one, so...
Ah! Well, there you go.
Yeah, so is yours, Shane.
Yeah. My smithing's level 90, so I could do that. Yeah. So the only thing I'm missing is 95 dungeoneering and 98 crafting. I don't think you can boost 10 levels. So, yeah, I'm going to be 86 divination by the end of the skill of the month, probably. But that's a topic for later in the show.
So. It's probably a hard one for people to get since it's a new skill. And
yeah.
So it's probably hold up a lot of people.
Yeah, forcing people to train divination. I like that for the people out there who don't like the skill. So that's always good to force people to broaden their horizons a bit.
Well, just saying, if they don't like divination, they won't like dungeoneering anyway, so.
Why?
Because divination is relatively AFKable if you just click every once in a while. If you have to, it's a shame if you have to interact with other players.
Oh, yeah. Right. I gotcha. All right. So that's pretty much this Damon Heim Achievement Diary. Is there anything else that you think need to be mentioned for this?
I'm glad they came out with a task set for the area. It's definitely big enough to have one.
Yeah. It's an entire skill, apparently. And for me, this opened up the possibility of maybe having a farming task set. Wouldn't that be nice?
No.
Oh, why not? That's too bad. All right. So, aside from that, 40,000 tokens available. Definitely something you want to do if you're interested in getting some free tokens and maybe getting, some free Dungeoneering XP. All right. So, moving on from that, the tweaks and fixes for the week. All right. So, first off, the Golden Chinchampa and Super September updates have been tweaked a bit. First a bit, the Golden Chinchampa, that's going to stick around in some form or another based on the current player pool going on. So, you don't need to worry about losing your Chinchampa now.
Okay.
Isn't it going to explode eventually? Or
yeah, what? It's going to explode, but they're going to make a cosmetic one that you can keep after the 16th.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. And now, with regards to Super September, which is the thing where you can do a challenge a day and have very odd ones, to say the very least, they've modified how the rewards are given out. So, for example, you only need to complete 25 challenges in order to get all the rewards now. So you can miss 5 with no penalty, and you'll still get the 35,000 loyalty points.
Hmm. Which is not that much to get a hold of, if you think about it. Pretty quick and easy.
Yeah, 25 is a nice number, I think.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'd say is it's kind of good and bad. Like, I could see how people can miss the event, and so it kind of sucks for them. So it's good to give them a few gimmies in that case. But at the same time, it's like there's no reward for people who have been doing it the whole time, this whole time along. I don't know.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with you there, because we were told that it was going to be a challenge today, and then this gets changed. For people who've been super dedicated, it kind of lessens the need for them to be that dedicated, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Also this week, some of the tasks entitled The Tales of the Old currently had an incorrect description in-game, and to complete the task, you only need to complete an abridged Fremenic saga, although an unabridged one will count. So that's going to be fixed pertaining to the sagas.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of makes sense, because aren't the unabridged ones really long?
It's like a small story.
Yeah.
I think
like, how long do they take? Do you remember?
I kind of rushed through it.
Oh, okay.
I just want to get.
But you did the unabridged, right?
Yeah, I did it. Didn't get 100% because I just didn't get 100%. But I've done them. I've done them all. I just haven't gotten 100% of everything. I haven't felt like doing it, so I guess this will make me go finish it up.
All right. Now into the release notes. Anything jumping out?
Well, hold on. Shoot. Dang it.
Duke? What's wrong?
I'm looking through.
All right. One of the ones that jumped out at me was that the mouse over text for the total XP currently displays properly, whereas it wasn't before. So, as an example, you weren't able to see your total experience gained when you moused over your total level, which was really annoying for some people. So
yeah, no, that I was having that problem. Every time I scrolled over it, mm-hmm. it would, like, pop up and then would instantly go away and, like, it just, like, appear for a second.
Yeah, then it was hard to get back.
So I'm glad they got that taken care of.
Yeah. Also, the candy cane spin emote no longer causes stretching when gloves are equipped, and the sheath model now disappears when performing the emote. Always okay. nice to see these little graphical things getting patched up.
For me, it says possible to start a duel with scrimshaws equipped before the fight begins. So this may bring some more interesting things into dueling, but not that much. Camera shake previously displayed when looting the barrel's chest has been returned.
Woohoo! All right. Duke?
I'm not seeing much. It seems that the experience one is good. That's good.
All right, the last one I want to mention is that Grand Exchange limit for all tiers of Divine Energy has been increased to 5,000.
What was it before?
I don't know, but 5,000 makes sense when you're at higher levels. It's nice to just be able to pull that much energy out of the exchange if you're looking to use it to train.
I think it's... Go ahead.
I feel like energy is going to be one of those things. It's going to be a high high capacity item in the Grand Exchange.
Yep.
You know, like arrows or feathers or anything like that. So
yeah, it's kind of like that.
You know, it's kind of, I think it's nice, you know, you
like
get
logs.
People to make some money. I mean, when we first started, the energy from there were relatively high. The cost per energy was relatively high. It was like 200 each.
I think people were paying more at the actual spots, though. Because I know people were paying like 300 to 500 rather than going to the exchange. It was just easier.
It's down to about 200 now at the actual spots. So, anyways, that's a bit of an aside. So, moving on from the tweaks and fixes section of the RuneScape section, we got the weekly battle update. So this week, Ceridomen is in the lead still by 30 million. So that's not going to go away anytime soon, given the fact that there's only a couple weeks left. And, well, 30 million is a far ways to go. And you can really see that the amount of people participating in this thing have dropped off. Because you'll remember last week when we reported this, the lead was only about 29.3 million, so 1 million in a week, that's gone down quite substantially to the amount of people dumping stuff in.
Well, I also want to say most people are starting school up again, so kids aren't, remember I said earlier, well, although my theory was a little bit wrong, Ceridomen kids are going back to school and can't know life as much as they want.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is that when you go there, and you do this, it's practically the same thing all through the weeks of the task. It's not as dynamic as it was advertised to be, which is kind of unfortunate. But it's to be expected. And I think the thing we're all going to be waiting for is what happens after it ends. So,
after it ends? Well, it's going to leave a giant hole in Lumbridge and we're going to pay for it.
Yeah, that could be it.
The digging skill. You have to go back and you have to fill in all the soil that was taken out.
Screw that, man. Come on, dude. All you gotta do is just get some those cows over there, tie up some logs, and just tell them, hit them with the whip, start moving. They'll do it.
Oh, that's funny.
Get some logs, put them to push dirt. They just keep walking.
One of the things I'm kind of wondering is the huge battlefield. It kind of looks like just a big divination gathering point kind of thing. So I'm wondering if that would be a possibility.
Well, in theory, we are supposed to be collecting the memories of Guthix with divination.
Yes,
right.
That's right.
But I mean, like, the actual battlefield itself is like this big crater, and then there's like this big like energy hole right in the middle. And so I'm just wondering.
Maybe we'll find a portal to Guthix's homeworld.
Unlikely. All right.
Yeah,
also, this week, the choice, the battlefield choice, is that you can either increase divine tears gathered on the battlefield or divine tears outside the battlefield. Personally, I think on the battlefield is the best option to go with for when this comes into play.
I actually found it annoying when I've got them outside the battlefield.
I think nice if you're not wanting to train on the battlefield.
But
like, you just want to train your skill, but you still want to get tears. That's a good way to go.
Well, the thing for me is that, you know, sometimes I'm doing something, and after that, I want to go into dungeoneering, and suddenly I get the item, and I have to go to the battlefield to deposit it because I can't put it in the bank.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a whole other trip that I have to do just to get it to work, which is a little annoying.
Although you can untick that in the options.
Yeah, but then you don't get them regardless. So that's even more annoying.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Duke, tell us about your dilemma.
Mine?
Yes.
I'm just his cousin. I'm not the actual Duke of Lumbridge.
Oh, okay then. Well, the dilemma is, who should aid be sent to? Should it be sent to the people of Lumbridge, the Zamorak camp, the Ceridoman camp, or both Ceridoman and Zamorak? What did you guys pick?
People of Lumbridge.
Okay. I chose Ceridoman. Ceridoman's camp.
I chose people of Lumbridge.
Yeah. See, all right. We're American.
Although I'm on Ceridoman's side, I mean, that's the most balanced option you can go with, I think.
In my view, if you're helping Zamorak, then you encourage the wrath of all the Lumbridge people. And if you help Ceridoman, well, all those guys are already dead anyway. You're not really helping much if they're already dead.
I mean, do either of them really need like 5,000 GP? I mean, that's like nothing to them. I feel like that's not going to get
true.
Anything.
They could probably create it.
Well, remember, we also ended up deciding to train giant spiders as, you know, guard animals.
That's
I'll just grab a can of Raid.
I don't think have that. But.
I think there was a bug spray somewhere in Catherby.
Oh, I know what you're talking. Yeah, there is. That's true.
All right, so moving on from that, RuneFest ticket prices have been announced pretty much the same as the previous 2 years when there was RuneFest. £99, that'll give you full access for the entire day, including the after party. You also get the goodie bag that they have, so that'll be collector's pins, t-shirts, and a RuneFest 3 in-game item. There's also going to be insider sessions this year, so you'll be able to talk to people who made certain pieces of content, quiz J-Mods about favorite content, and they might even tell secrets. And they say, try to keep it to yourself, which, you know, people aren't going to do. Because you can't make 3,000 people or however many people are going to be coming there to sign an NDA or something like that. There's also going to be Gilanorian activities, so Verrockian food and penguin hunts, treasure trails, and sampling the unreleased content. This happens on November 2nd from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. And also, of course, the after party during a happy hour session, live music, and of course, the Golden Gnome Awards. So, if anyone's going to RuneFest, let us know and we'll get in contact with you and two other people who are confirmed to be going from this website. And we'll set up some sort of coverage thing regarding that. So let us know if you're going to RuneFest.
We'll give you about 2,000 theoretical dollars while we're at it.
No, we're not paying for anyone's trip to RuneFest. That's just not
You didn't happening. Hear a thing I said, did you? No.
They're only
no.
theoretical dollars, not real life.
I know, no. but still, there are people who might take the theory for actual practicality. And when you take theory and practicality and combine them together with something people want, you get bad things happening.
Got to hold on to those theoretical dollars.
Well, yes. if you, well then that's why we sign contracts.
It is I wish they had RuneFest over here instead of in London for once. That'd be nice.
Oh, no. No, London is the best place to have it.
Yeah, you don't have to pay for the plane ticket and the passport cost.
Yeah, and I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, because the people of the UK are the primary audience of the people that play RuneScape. Jagex is a UK-based company. They should have it there to reward the people who live in that country and reward anyone else who is outrageous enough to fly across an ocean or take lots of trains from Europe to get there.
Yeah, I guess I'll move over there one day just so I can attend RuneFest, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Years from now.
And it's such a far distance for one day, unless you're doing an entire UK trip at the same time. It doesn't really make sense. So that's just why I think it makes sense.
I figure if you come from America, they should give you like a tour of like the JJEC facilities, like over everyone else, just because you went.
That's only available for fan site staff.
Ugh.
Man. Hey, that's us.
All right. So moving on to the community roundup for this week. The Clan Cup is starting up again, except this year it's community run. So if you're at all interested in the Clan Cup, or if you're currently in a clan, get in contact with them regarding the Clan Cup. Of course, it's going to be combat, scaling, and a mixture of both for what's going on. So.
Okay.
And sorry. They are going to be getting custom designed clan motifs and clan names engraved into their clan cup in game. So there is actually stuff to win with this.
Well, I think RSBNB needs to jump in there and show everyone else up.
Yeah, well, you know, we kind of need members first for skilling clan or something like that. And I mean,
Did
I'm
we
sure
even
we
open
could
up
do
the
some.
Citadel?
No, we're actually going to do that this weekend. We're going to open up the Citadel.
Okay.
Again. So if anybody is interested in helping out with that or wants to join, details, we'll have details next week on how you can do that. But we are looking to start that up again.
Cool.
Also, a multi-clan event. Oh, never mind. That takes place this Saturday. Missed that point in my notes. All right, fan art. Pretty good pieces this week, wouldn't you say so?
Oh, the zombie one is kind of nice.
Yeah, I like the touches on the armor. It looks really good.
He gives a dark exposition for RuneScape.
Yeah, and I mean, it looks realistic, and that's how it would. And that's how it would look, and it's called Mod Crow. The powerful mod, Lord of Tweets.
He's a crow?
The power of the Elder Facebook. I guess, yeah. So, and of course, that's his Zamorak armor. If you look really closely at it, you can see the Zamorak symbol and also the J-Mod crown underneath the Zamorak symbol. So, pretty good. Pretty good composition. All right. And finally, hero crits and teleports available on Solomon's general store. So if you're looking to spend some rune coins, you can do that. Unfortunately, these are not yet available for loyalty points. I am not sure when they will be available. So. Oh, and also the Kalphite Great Helm is currently free in the store.
Oh, there's so a title, can, too.
Yeah, the wild. So you can pick those up if you have not already.
And I like they added that little tab feature that lists what the free items are so people can just get them and not have to bother looking through the store.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good piece of last week's update. All right. Shall we move on to the questions?
Sure.
All right. First one, audio question from 101 Duck 1.
Hello there, Shane and Trekkie. This is 101 Duck 1 here, and I have a couple of questions for you guys. Now, I'll preface this first question by saying that it is my main question, and it is totally not RuneScape related, but has been sort of weighing on my mind recently. My real question for you both is, what do you think about military involvement in Syria? As I send in this question, the U.S. Congress is yet to decide, and it's been set upon them to vote on whether or not we should become involved. I'm not sure if the decision will have been made by the time that you guys record, but if not, why do you think the U.S. should or should not get involved? Honestly, I very much oppose U.S. involvement because both sides are just too shady, honestly, with al-Assad on one side and al-Qaeda potentially on the other. Why, on the 12th anniversary of such a heinous terrorist attack, would the U.S. seek to further provoke the enemy? I'm sorry for going on for so long, but I feel as though the result may be inevitable. When people like Speaker Boehner begin to side with Obama, I worry, honestly. I can only hope that Congress makes the right choice. Now, on a bit of a happier note, what do you guys remember as the newbiest thing or things you ever did in RS? Thanks for the great show, guys. Have a good week.
All right. So, Syria. We have a forum topic actually going on about this. I think the three of us have been...
Only the three of us, really.
Yeah.
I don't think I posted in it. Not that I remember.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we all kind of know what you think of it anyway, so... Spiritually, you've already done.
Well, let's have him tell us anyways.
I thought the question was only phrased to you two. You know, he left me out in the address.
This was before we put your name on the list of people who are going to be on the show. So,
personally, I am not a fan of involvement either. I don't think the Congress is going to vote for it. I think if Obama wanted to do something about it, he could temporarily, but in terms of a long-term conflict, it wouldn't happen. But as things are shaping up right now, it looks like with the Russians kind of stepping in and saying lay off, I don't know if we're actually really going to get involved. I mean, just given our track record in the Middle East, usually we try to get more people involved with us, but this time it looks like it would just be us, and that's not really a smart thing to do. So I don't think it's going to happen.
All right. I pretty much agree with what 101 Duck said in the preface of his question. Both options are bad, and helping either of them would not be good because, like he said, the rebel forces there are composed, at least a portion of them are, of al-Qaeda fighters, and we know what al-Qaeda and their organization was responsible for and what they stand for. So I can safely say in this case that intervention is not a good option. And quite frankly, if something was going to be done, it should have been done 2 years ago when this thing was first breaking out. Because just the fact that chemical weapons have been used and that over 100,000 are dead and that changes things is a bit different in my view. So if something was going to be done, it should have been done ages ago. And, you know, with Russia stepping in, and I just got to say that's the funniest thing to happen in a long time in terms of foreign policy. So I wish the president good luck for the rest of his term being able to accomplish anything.
Mm.
All right, you're up.
There's not much really to say.
Okay. Well,
everyone agrees.
Well, think about, remember, Shane, what I first said a long time ago. If we don't do anything, people hate us. We actually do something, people hate us. So either way, it's a lose-lose situation. We might as well just not even bother and just like, you know what, and, you know, just screw it. They don't want us over there. None of us wants to go over there. And then Russia, basically, Putin's basically said, I'll handle it. All right, let them do it. We don't care. If we actually cared, Shane, we would have ended this years, you know, long time ago.
And that's what's so hilarious is that it's come down to the Russians fixing this.
If they want to try and fix it, let them. They're probably going to extend their power down there anyway. Ah, who cares?
I know, but I mean, it's like a balloon having its air let out.
If he wants to do it, let him do it. No one here really cares. If we actually cared about Syria, well, we're not even doing anything about helping refugees right now.
I know, yeah. But it's the wider aspect of how it looks, having the U.S. want to do something and then being swept away by Russia. That's what I'm laughing about.
Something to laugh at. Putin said he'll handle it. Fine, let him. We don't care. And, you know, quite honestly, you'll save us a couple bombs. We're probably sending millions of dollars over there and weapons and gear and whatever, and so probably have a battalion of spies over there for one reason or another. And, you know, quite honestly, neither side is actually any good. Both sides have committed atrocities. We're not exactly helping any of the quote-unquote good people.
Yeah, so exactly
if you want to do some good over there, take care of the refugees. I believe the only country somewhere in Europe, I want to say Norway, that's taking in refugees. We don't even care about people that are trying to leave and find a safe haven.
We are.
Okay, not us.
You know, it's just a situation where it's darned if you do, darned if you don't. And so, you know, you just got to pick one and deal with how that works out. But I think in the long, you know, in terms of the Middle East relations, I think our best aim here is just to try to get out as best we can. So
We could always just build a couple thousand McDonald's around the Middle East. That will solve everything.
No, I don't think so.
Sure, it would. We just gotta, you know, let them know that if you come, we will employ your people. We'll pay them 50 cents an hour.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, well, you know, we would, Duke and I would agree on that wage, actually. Because we have had that discussion before, but we'll save that for another show. So, anyways, moving on. What's the newbiest thing you did on RS?
I tried to tell an NPC to stop killing me.
Serious?
I did. I was like within 2 days. No, was it like my very first day? I was exploring the world of Glenanor, and I just finished killing some cows and chickens. I felt like a badass. So I went around to Farag, trying to explore that. Somehow managed to get my way to Falador, explore the White Knights, and notice I can't really fight them because they are so much higher level than me. Then I started heading back to Draenor, and I didn't know that was Draenor. And then, of course, you know, I got attacked by the Highwayman. And I was telling the Highwayman, thinking it was another person, please don't attack me. I don't have much. Let me go. Remember, this is back in RS Classic where you're only allowed to leave after 3 turns?
Yep.
And so I'm, you know, like, please, you know, don't attack me. Don't do this. It's blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, heck, I'm actually winning. And he tries to run away, and I killed him. I was like, oh, I got a nice black cave. Of course, while all this is happening, there's a guy next to me who's, you know, watching the whole thing, laughing, probably laughing his butt off on the screen, and things like, great job, dude. Like, thanks. And I laugh on my new black cape.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I've told this story to you many times, Shane.
I don't recall.
Well, duh.
All right.
Why don't you just run away?
Because back then, you couldn't run away. And after 3 turns, but by third turn, I was actually winning. So I was like, huh, okay.
Like, I can't win this. And he tried to run away. It tried to run away, and then I chased it and killed it. Buried the bones and got a new black cape, which is quite nice.
All right, Duke.
I'm trying to think back all those years, but I'm not sure. I just remember Tutorial Island and training skills to level 3. All of them that I could. And then first thing I started doing when I got off Tutorial Island was somebody gave me a mithril hatchet and went straight to woodcutting and didn't stop until like 60 or something.
Wow.
And back all then, right. That was a big deal, like mithril hatchet. Yeah.
Yep, that's helpful. Right. All right. As for me, back in the early days when starting, I started mining and smithing. And rather than doing one at a time, what I basically did, because you had to walk, so what I would do is I would, you guys know where the Champions Guild is and whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. I'd mine the tin and copper there, and then I'd walk to the Lumbridge Furnace, make my bars, and then walk all the way to Varrock to smith them one load at a time. So, yeah, that's how I trained mining back and smithing back then. And it put me off mining and smithing for a good deal of time. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yep. All right. I'll read the first one. Or no, oops, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. We got one more audio question. This one from Marumska.
Hello, Shane, Tricky, and Dookie Juko. Muramska here. What do you think of these Super September challenges? Do you think it's to encourage people to join the game? Or do you think it's just to show what the game has to offer? And also, I was thinking about this the other day. What misinformation did your teachers tell you? When I was younger, my teacher once told me you get charcoal from putting leaves and organic matter into a box, covering leaves again and dampen it, wait for 9 months, and you have charcoal that, as you know, Shane, that gets you compost. Also, I've got a little riddle for you all. Sneaky Shane knows the answer. Read the words carefully. It happened once a minute, twice a moment, but never in 1,000 years. You can take to the end of the show to answer it. And also, do you guys like fighting games? Because as we speak, KOF 13 has been released on Steam! Year 2013! What a coincidence! What do you know about Kyo Kusanagi and the HD flame?
Cut stuff.
So hype! So hype!
Anyway, I'll talk to you next time.
So hype! Yeah!
That's very
the letter M. Answer to his riddle. The letter M. Next!
Yes, that's correct. All right. So what do you guys think of the Super September challenges so far?
Some are annoying as hell.
Cabbage Field.
Which one in particular?
Cabbage Field, oh my. I think they did that because of their hatred of cabbage. And the other thing is also have 28 pieces of food, different pieces of food in your inventory. Like,
oh, that one was
yes.
Easy.
I thought it was easy, but it was annoying. Yeah, right. Dang, I actually travel around the world.
I'm sure the plant one on my world was easy, because actually everyone was like, no, nobody pick, and so we let it reset, and then we picked it, and it was really easy, so.
Yeah,
that was
23.
That was like 114, where it was like all total level 1500, so you're talking like people who know what they're doing.
See, I did that one, and the first time we did it, there was a bit of a problem, and I couldn't find the chair emote on my list, so we had to do it again, but Earth was able to get a group of people coordinated twice in order to do it. So good work on him, and we cleared the entire cabbage field. But that one was annoying.
We're all farmers, man.
Yeah. And some of the other ones that I found annoying... which one was it? Well, I'm going to be honest here. The ones that I find annoying, I just don't do. I didn't do the Fish Flingers one, nor did I do the Soul Wars, nor did I do the Portents of Restoration. But the rest of them have been fairly simple, I think.
Well, those were all pretty easy. I mean, Fish Flingers, I didn't know what I was doing, but I figured it out pretty quick. And then Soul Wars was horrible because it was just... There were so many
people. Soul Wars lag.
Yeah. And what's kind of what's also bad too is that they got rid of you getting XP from hitting people, so you got nothing. When we get XP, is you kill the monsters or if you spend it on Zeal, which is kind of pointless. It used to be great. Now it kind of sucks with EOA. Bleh. Shutting up. You know what I mean, Shane.
Yeah. Also, there was the 10 items in the Falador party room. How'd you guys find that one?
Went to the Falador party world, went inside, picked 10 items up, done.
Yeah, it actually wasn't too hard.
One on my own, actually. I filled the party chest with my own stuff, and then I dropped it. So, there was that. Of course, there's also going bananas, eating 50 bananas. That was simple.
go to Karumja.
Talking to 10 people. That one was interesting. You got to go around everywhere, cool. And even people on Miscellanean, etc. worked. So that was good. But it wasn't too bad.
What was the other thing? Bull Run was kind of interesting, but yeah.
That wasn't a challenge. That was just a...
run through. It touched the wall. It run back.
Oh, okay. I see.
Apparently, I think, Duke, you and Mike were talking about it earlier. I think. Duke?
Hmm?
I think, were you and Mike talking about it earlier, before the show?
About the high score one?
Yeah. The bull run or something?
Yeah. I participated in that one. I actually did get in the top 1K. I was 572, I think. I did 225 runs. So,
holy cow. You did 225 runs in the wilderness.
Yep. From the...
Oh my. Why would you do such a thing?
Wall to the deep wilderness wall.
Why not, would you do that?
Why not?
Because it's an awesome title.
Okay.
Super, super Duke Juker.
Oh. All right. Biggest piece of misinformation you guys received in school?
Of misinformation or information?
Misinformation.
Oh.
That was the question.
This will be fun. Get you a job.
I'll drink to that. Oh, what was the one? You have to learn whatever equation because you'll need this in the workforce. Man,
you do.
We just use it. Yeah, no, we just use a freaking calculator.
Shh. But it's fun.
No, nowadays it's called just Google it. Okay, only you would do vector calculus just for fun.
I did.
And you are the definition of white and nerdy. You just need some overalls and a pocket protector.
Potentially, yes. Biggest piece of misinformation. It's hard. There's been good cases, but nothing I can substantiate right now.
Well, you know, we just say that we had good teachers and decent schools, and let's move on.
Well, for the most part, yes, but there was this one political science teacher I had at one point, and basically he was a Marxist, so pretty much everything he said was misinformation the way he spun it. That was a real course where you needed to rely on the textbook. So, there you go. That's my answer to this one. And fighting games? You guys interested in fighting games at all?
Never really care for those. I'll play them once in a while, but I'm never really good at it. I mean, I've seen people who are really good at it, and, you know, I guess everyone in, say, Super Smash Brothers considered a fighting game. So that one's always fun.
Yeah, that one was fun. I like that one. How about you, Duke?
Yeah, I really like Super Smash Brothers. I never really got into, like, the Street Fighter. What was the other one? Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat!
I liked GoldenEye, too. Well, just any of the
Oh, yeah, that was good. But I wouldn't call that a fighter. That's a first-person shooter.
Shoot, yeah, depends on what you mean by fighting.
I never played that fighting. Game.
What?
I never
played GoldenEye.
Nope.
That's
wow.
I never did. Remember I told you before when it was released for the GameCube, like I basically had like...
It was N64. Four.
Oh, well, same issue. I had like about three games for N64 and three games for GameCube. After GameCube, I was like, why even bother buying these anymore? I quit. Quit consoles. They're fun, you know. Go to my friend's place. We play a little bit before. And they're fun, but eh. I've just had enough of buying a $300 box every few years.
Well, my friend still has one, so he's the only person I know with one still.
I still have my N64, but you know it's basically gathering dust somewhere in the garage, and my GameCube broke, so that one's dead. Don't know how it broke, but it broke.
All right. Well, thank you for Maramska for sending that question in. The next one is from the RR Man. Duke, you want to read that one?
Sure. Okay. Question from the RR Man. Hey guys, simple this week, and I'm sure people sure would have asked before, but what do you guys do to make a living? Where do you work? I'm currently out of work as a stay-at-home dad. Just this afternoon, I've been updating my CV so I can get back to earning some real-life GP. Peace out, Adam.
Real-life GP is always good.
And we wish you the best of luck in your endeavor.
Yes.
But on the other hand, being a stay-at-home dad is just fine.
Yeah, I mean, if it works. I mean, you don't have to work, but if you need to, then definitely got to work. Hard to find a job these days.
Stay-at-home parents are always a good thing, in my opinion. So, but
is that what you're going to teach your wife? If you get a wife?
No.
You're going to stay single for another 3,500 years?
That is currently undetermined. But when do you guys want to go first, or should I go first?
I can go first. Now I'm unemployed, but technically not. I do soccer refereeing, but it's more of a part-time job. That's mostly like high school, select, rec, that kind of thing. Before I graduated from college, I was working at the campus library as basically a student librarian worker. So.
Whew, that's good fun.
But, yeah, so now I'm just kind of looking for a job, too, so I know how you feel.
How is that way for 3 years?
As for me, I currently am trying to figure out which direction I want to go in with the whole computer science type thing, whether it be a bit of programming for a bit, something on my own maybe, or a different aspect of computer science area that I haven't looked into yet, but that's something I'm currently looking into. So,
right now I'm a federal employee working part-time as I'm finishing up my associate degree. I work for the Department of Veteran Affairs. I'm just a paper pusher so far.
All right. And you know what I think about that, eh?
Job security. No, I have job security. Someone always has to push the papers.
It's true.
Yes. Actually, I'm about to get promoted.
Well, think about it this way, Shane. At least it's someone we know who's a federal government worker rather than some other guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. even though it's an HR department, I find those rather useless.
You didn't listen to the last thing I
said. It's mine. I'm paying Trekkie's salary.
Yeah, there you go. So,
I mean, you're not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think
so. Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that then.
Thanks, Duke.
You're not welcome.
That's okay.
I'm complaining to your boss.
You have a hard time convincing them because they seem to love me. So does everyone else over there at the hospital so far.
Brown noser.
No, it's because I'm basically the only one that actually gets shit done. And yes, I did just say it, Shane.
Well, yeah, okay, if you do get things done, then, you know, you're doing better than 99% of the people in the federal government.
Yes, yes.
Most people actually get things done. It's just you have to worry about the super high-up administration part. Those are the ones that suck your dollars in, and they should be taxed to hell, but they're not, so oh well. Oh,
no, all right, let's move on. Next one's from Veteran. Hey, host, just wondering, other than RuneScape, what was your best childhood game? Thanks, from Veteran. I wouldn't call RuneScape a childhood game, but...
Super Mario Brothers. Super Mario World. Super Mario World for Super Nintendo.
Yeah, if that's not dating us, I have no idea what would be.
I still play that once in a while when I get the chance. That thing is one of those timeless games that just evolves as you get older. And you know, it's funny because first time we played it, we took us a while to figure out the star road. And when we figured out the star road, we beat the game, but then me and my sister wanted to beat it the quote unquote right way. So it literally took us an entire year to go all around the map, by every single castle, to fight Bowser without using any of the Star Road thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right. Yeah, that was odd. But, see, I don't know. It's hard to say. I didn't really do many games back then. I guess if I had to choose one thing, it would be GoldenEye for the N64, which you are severely missing out on for not playing that in the past.
Not really.
Okay. Well, hey, well that's my game, GoldenEye.
Heck, I didn't even watch Back to the Future.
Well, neither did I. So you're in the same camp as me.
Yeah, you guys are missing out. That's kind of sad.
Hey, I was born in a poor family, man.
You guys can't color. Wait, are you guys born in the 80s or the 90s?
80s?
Oh, okay.
I think I'm the oldest one here. Again.
By 6 months.
Oh, whatever.
Anyways, alright. Duke, your favorite childhood / old game?
I was confused. You said best, but I'm assuming that's favorite. So,
yes.
I think my favorite was Pokemon for the Game Boy.
Pokemon Yellow?
No.
I stopped after Gold and Silver, but they were fun.
I stopped after Red and Blue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I only played the very original ones.
That's good. So many people who are listening to this will know as this is ancient, but you remember how those ancient ones looked. There was no color to them whatsoever. It was only yellow that started to add a little bit of color.
Unless you had a Game Boy Color, but even then it was just trying to guess what the color was.
Actually, the Game Boy Pocket was the worst one, though. Game Boy Pocket was the worst one. It had terrible battery life. They got color one really quick. But best cheat in history, hands down, is the missing known cheat. Everyone knew that one.
Yep, I remember that one in school.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That was the one cheat that you knew you needed to learn that right off the bat. And when Gold and Silver came out, you learned how to duplicate Pokemon to get items.
At least we weren't duplicating party hats and getting banned.
Technically, it was a crown. We can evolve into a Slowking. I duplicated that like hell. So I guess I could Pokemon.
I got my Game Boy here in the desk. Maybe let me just see here if it still works. Hang on.
It should. I still play my Game Boy Advance every once in a while.
Let's see. Can this open up? Here we go. Okay.
I'm scared.
All right. Let's see what we got. We got a yellow, or no, not a yellow, a green Game Boy Color with a bunch of games in a little baggie. And we got gold, silver, and yellow. Let's just plop yellow in and see what it does. See if this turns on.
That Game Boy is last forever. I think it'll turn on unless you don't have
batteries. Yeah, it did.
Yep. You know, that video where there was a Game Boy, an old Game Boy, like, you know, when we started playing Tetris on it?
Correct.
And, yeah, and it went, supposedly went through an IED and it still works.
I wouldn't be surprised. But, yeah, Pokemon was my favorite. I remember spending a lot of hours on it, and I actually just bought Red and Blue a couple, I think, months ago. Just so
really?
I want to play them.
Oh, Shane, you know how in Red and in Gold and Silver, they had shiny Pokemon that you could capture.
Yes.
I actually did find a shiny Graveler once in the wild, but I didn't have a Master Ball, so I was trying to capture it, but the idiot decided to self-destruct on it, so I was like, god dang it.
Oh yeah, that's another thing I did. I used cheat codes in order to get the special balls for free.
I could never get the Game Shark thing to work for me.
Oh, okay. And this was back in the day when people actually made cheat codes for games.
Yeah.
You don't have those anymore.
It's like, we want you to succeed, so use this.
And you know, that's where you and I come from, is that we have no problem with using a cheat code because it's to get our story done, right?
Yes.
I figured it was like kind of an end game thing too, where like if you were going around just catching the Pokemon, it helped to have like a bunch of the Master Balls in case.
Well, you know, remember there was what was it? There's a code of ethics when it comes to gamers, and the number one rule is it's okay to cheat if you are doing single player. Thou yes. shalt not cheat when in multiplayer.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's one of the Ten Commandments of gaming. Second one is not to be a D-bag, but that doesn't really work out for many people. For many kids, I would say.
Not to be 13 years old. Yes, I think we got it.
No, it's fine if they're 13-year-old.
Anyways,
Oh, and thou shalt not drop F-bombs.
Veteran, you got me to pull the Game Boy Color out. It looks like it needs new batteries because the screen is very dark. That's what it did when it needed new batteries, right?
No, it's for us, it got very light.
Oh.
Yeah, usually the little red light dims if there's not enough batteries.
Okay.
Hey, Duke, did you ever play the Advanced War series?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that was one of the best strategy games for the Game Boy. I love that game.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else on this one, we should move on to the last question. You want to read that one for us?
Okay. Oh, me? Go I think it's directed it. At me.
Okay, sure.
Question from Flash. Dear Shane, Trekkie, and Dookie!
Dookie!
I don't know why everyone says that, but it's Dookie. It's Duke. But anyway, have you seen any fall foliage yet where you live? Where I live, I've been seeing some colors appearing on a few of the trees over the past 2 weeks. I find it kind of strange that they're so early here because usually we don't get colors till early October. Any signs of fall so far for you guys? P.S. Duke, get 99 woodcutting already. Flash.
What is it right now? 98? 97?
Yeah, 98. I think I have 181K. No, 176.
Yeah, you should definitely get that 99.
Yeah, eventually I'll get there. Didn't take as long as fire making, but that's it.
All right. No, not yet. It's actually been really hot this past week, but I wouldn't be surprised in the next week and a half to 2 weeks if we start seeing the leaves turn yellow, because that's usually around the time it does it, the third or fourth week of September. And then by this time in October, or a couple of weeks after that, there could be snow. Because last year, before Halloween, there was snow, and it stayed for the entire season. So yeah, it's fast approaching.
Uh-huh.
All right, Duke, you seen any fall foliage around?
I don't think so. We have a lot of pine trees in our area, so usually it's not as much fall foliage as it is, you know, a lot of pine needles.
All right.
Yeah, really hard to clean up.
Yeah, and does it snow there?
It does. It's kind of been weird lately. Sometimes it'll come really late, sometimes early, sometimes we'll get a lot, sometimes hardly anything at all. So it's, you never know what you're going to get.
Right, because you guys are at the foot of the mountains there.
Yeah, we're pretty far up north, being in Spokane, Washington. We're pretty up high for cold temperatures, so.
Yep. But it gets very hot there in the summer, though, if I remember
correctly. It was like a couple hundred plus degree days for us, so it was not fun.
Yeah, no thank you. All right. Thank you for that question, Flash. And Duke will be getting 99 shortly, potentially this weekend.
He'll make sure of that. He keeps telling me all the time.
Oh, good. All right. Well, in that case, let's move on to tech news then. But first, a reminder that if you want to send in audio questions like 101Duck1 did or Marumska, you can send those audio questions in. Just email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype at the username rsbnbupdate, or if you live in the US and you want to use your conventional phone, which seems like a strange thing, but there are people that do this from time to time, you can leave us a voicemail on our Google Voice. The number for that is 571-572-2632. Once again, 571-572-2632. All right, so first up this week, Twitter has filed for its IPO.
Okay.
That's pretty big.
Well, it's a secret IPO, meaning it has less than $1 billion in annual revenue. But Twitter feels it's valued at more than $10 billion, so I don't know. You think this one will be a success, unlike Facebook?
I think it depends on how much they value it at opening, because I feel like Facebook, they set it kind of too high, and so that's why it went down and then came back up eventually. I mean, it's fine now, but I think just people thought it was overvalued at the time. So, but the other thing, too, is that Twitter's a different medium from Facebook. You know, you're talking about messaging more so than social networking, so it's kind of hard to say how that'll go.
All right. It's kind of interesting that this happens now, because if you look at it, Twitter has added video recently for their posts. They've become more media entrenched, and this could, I was thinking, potentially be paving the way for Twitter to become sort of an ad agency, if you think about it. Because they already do the promoted tweets from time to time, but they could take it further. Take it further to everybody who is integrating Twitter into their various platforms and even modern TV, and have somehow Twitter tie in to the ads that you're seeing on TV and whatnot.
I don't tweet, so I really don't care.
Well, I mean, it's something that can't be ignored, because it's interesting, to say the least. It's effectively become a news medium for me. That's how I get most of the news. I have this Twitter following list of a whole bunch of different news agencies, and whenever something comes up, I can quickly verify whether or not it's true based on how many of the different news agencies I have are posting about it. So, I mean, it's a new way of getting news, and I think there's ad revenue in it, both on the entertainment side and potentially on the news side as well. The only problem with Twitter and Facebook, likewise, is that it's horrible for social signals of what's actually popular to the user. It's popular to the group, which isn't exactly a good thing all the time. So, I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see what it comes out as a per-share pricing.
I think they'll try to avoid, you know, try to learn from Facebook and try not to overvalue it too much. That's the one big thing they need to watch out for.
Yeah, because there was a quote from Zuckerberg somewhere else this week where he said that after the Facebook IPO, things became extremely turbulent for them, given the perception that the company wasn't valued correctly in the very beginning. So,
yeah.
Anyways,
well, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd invest in it right now, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't do that. It seems very very dangerous to do this sort of thing. All right. So, moving on to another thing this week. This one was suggested to us by Trekkie. Microsoft wants to buy your iPad for $200 at least.
Yay! So anyway, the whole idea is that Microsoft is getting a deal. If you go into one of their Microsoft stores, where you would find one is a completely different question, but go into one of their Microsoft stores, and the only closest one here is the whole, it's like 35, 40 minute drive. Anyway, well, the one I know anyway. Anyway, so what you can do is that you can trade in one of your old iPads, 2, 3, 1, maybe even 4, and you can get up to a $200 gift card.
Just 2, 3, 4.
Oh, okay. And had to be, quote-unquote, gently used. So I guess no ketchup stains. Yeah.
Yeah,
so anyway,
and basically, you can use that to purchase one of their Surface RT tablets.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. I think it's a little good little initiative to try and get people off the iPad and see what's.
I found it laughable.
Hey, you know, remember what I said before? They have to find a way to compete with Apple and Android. This is, I think it's a good idea. Probably not. I
found it completely laughable because there's two reasons why. First things first, the iPad is entrenched in the market. It was entrenched in the market for 3 years before Surface RT even came around. Secondly, this is blatantly obvious that Microsoft is trying to get rid of their Surface units that they have, because it was said a couple months back that they built way, way too many of these, and they cut the price of these tablets down. So it's clear that they're taking a loss on this, and they just want to get them out the door, and they're turning it into a marketing strategy, which I guess, whichever way you look at it, is a good thing for them. But I don't know. I honestly don't think that an iPad and a Surface RT are in the same category. I think even Ballmer himself said so in that interview he gave after he announced he was stepping down as CEO. I mean, the iPad is a consumption device, whereas the Surface RT is a creation device that's gimped because it's trying to be like the iPad, when in reality an actual laptop would serve you better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just why I found it laughable, because I think anybody who has an iPad is happy with the device. They're not going to trade it in for a Surface RT.
Remember, that's for a new one. It's an old iPad new one.
Well, I guess you could do that. I mean, if you want to try it, but you can't exactly buy the new iPad at the Apple or at the Microsoft store.
Maybe they want to change something. Maybe, who knows? We may like it.
Maybe, but I don't know. I just don't see the logic in this, or logic, as Reed would say. So
I think if people want to switch from Apple to Microsoft, that's what they're aiming for. So
yeah, But I don't think
people do. Apple's just kind of been at the top of all the Surface tablet stuff for the time being. So now that Microsoft's coming on the scene, they're trying to see if they can lure people over.
That's entirely right. And like I said, I know very few people who would switch from an iPad to a Surface.
No, because you surround yourself with Apple fanboys anyway.
No, because it's the truth.
In large groups, found by the watering hole, enjoying their tablets and their other Apple products.
Speaking of other Apple products, the iPhone 5C and 5S were announced this week.
Yuck.
Actually, share your sentiment with that. Basically, the iPhone 5C stands for color, so it's an iPhone 5 that's a colored version. They come in, I think, 6 colors. So if you're interested in the way your iPod looks and you don't like what you've been seeing before for the 5S or the standard black, you can get the 5C now. And the tagline for it is "For the colorful." The iPhone 5C comes in white, pink, yellow, green, and blue. Also, it has cases for it as well on the back. It's like, apparently the analogy is that the iPhone now has shoes that it can wear. Apparently, also in the OS, there's a different background for each color phone that you get. So,
which someone pointed out looks like one of those Nokia Lumina phones.
Yeah, you know, you're entirely right about that. That is so the way that
you,
it looks.
So wouldn't you say that, you know, Apple is now copying Microsoft? Because Microsoft just bought Nokia.
Well, not necessarily. It's just the design that is going back to colors. Because the guy who is in charge of designing the iPhones and has been since day one is named Johnny Ive, and he is also the one in the 1990s who designed the colored iMacs. I'm not sure if you guys remember those.
Maybe?
Like the colored iMacs with all the different colors on them. So it's notable they go back to colors, because that's what Apple started with way back when. And for people who just want a basic iPhone, there's nothing wrong with having a colored iPhone 5. Basically, that's what the 5C is. It's the internals of an iPhone 5 with a new enclosure. So it's plastic, bit lighter. Apparently, it doesn't feel cheap. So that's interesting. It'd be interesting to hold one of those. Then there's the iPhone 5S, which comes in white, space gray, and gold.
Solid gold, as I remember, for one of them.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just a gold paint or if it's a gold plating. I haven't watched the entire video yet, but the main attracting feature of that one is the fingerprint scanner. So rather than unlocking your phone with a password, you now unlock it with a fingerprint.
And that's when you have them touch a glass and get some Vaseline and tape.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if you can get into it like that, like most of the traditional PC fingerprint authentication methods on the laptops. Because if you could do that, that just would really serve no purpose at all. So, definitely interesting.
Hey, there's a will, there's a way. And there's a reason why, people don't really bother with fingerprint scanners very much. Over here, it's all about badges.
It's a new technology, and go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I saw an article the other day that said that would be in, like, the new kind of, like, thief crime kind of thing to look out for, was people lifting fingerprints or even, like, cutting off people's fingertips.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's going to be a worry now with the 5S, is someone cutting off your finger when they steal your phone.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, but I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Just be a really weird, messed up person to do that.
Well, we do have a lot of messed up people.
Do you need a live finger with a pulse in order to activate the fingerprint scanner, because if you do, then you can't cut the finger off and activate it.
Well, you know, to be, you know, kind of go with this thing, there are actually medical apps on the market for Apple where you can actually get, you know, heart, blood pressure and all that read, but with your finger by the camera thing. And while it's not like, you know, 100% accurate, it does give a really good ballpark of what the actual number is. And like I say, if an app can do that, I'm sure Apple can just integrate that into it.
Well, yeah, it's chip-based technology, and the developers don't have access to the fingerprint scanner yet. And in order to ensure people it was safe, they encrypt the fingerprint and save it locally on the device. It doesn't get uploaded ever.
And until NSA gets into your phone.
Well, that's why they don't upload it, so that they can't get into it.
I think what he's saying is if they backdoor into your phone to get in.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
Although
so
I think you'd have to worry a little more if they want to get to you that bad.
Yes.
Well, they already have mine, so it doesn't take them too hard to get it.
If the NSA wants to get after you, they're probably going to do what they need to do.
They already mine already.
And I mean, that's why you always name your router to NSA Surveillance RAN 408, if you want to creep people out in your neighborhood.
That's just cruel.
All right, so aside from that, it was also announced that iOS 7 will be launching next week on Wednesday, the 18th. So look forward to that if you got a relatively new device.
Hey, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at Lumbridge right now, and there are actually white knights and upgraded soldiers around roaming around the area.
Yeah, well, I think they contracted out to contact the white knights a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
I thought we had a thing where they weren't really showing up. Well, that's why.
No. It's good they're there now.
They're there.
Lumbridge guard dogs. We didn't get the spiders, apparently.
Yeah, we chose the dogs.
Doesn't really do much. If a guy wants to kill the dog, probably eat it, too.
All right. Well, that note, let's move on to other things, including the skill of the month update, the divination skill of the month. Currently roughly halfway through the month, and Huzloy RS is still in the lead with about 6.8 million experience gain. Has stopped as of recording this. Flash is in second with 4.4 million XP and is maintaining a relatively straight progression. So it'll be interesting to see if he manages to catch up. And third place is Minor Goo, currently with 2.9 million experience. Looks like we're fighting for third place here between Soul Lightning and Fish and Minor Goo. So definitely going to be interesting to see how this one turns out. It's also worth noting that Duke Juker has gained 72,800 Dungeoneering experience so far this month, and I have gained 983,000 experience. I mean, divination, I'm not sure why I said Dungeoneering again.
I was going to say.
Yeah, like, this start off sounding the same, so for some reason I like to transpose them for some reason. But anyways. So that's the Skill of the Month update. And tell us our achievement of the week.
Duke, go. How'd you do?
Oh. We got one achievement this week, and it's Last Lino. We got 99 ranged on September 4th.
Ooh, congratulations.
All right.
And at this point, I'd like to point everyone to the Informer website. Informer.rspmb.com, where you can read Alex's roundup of Super September challenges, what he's thought of them, and basically one of the typical Alex analysis articles where he injects his own feeling of sense onto the specific update in question. It's a good read, so you can have a read at informer.rspmb.com. All right. Duke, I believe you have a pick for us.
I do. My pick this week is the television show Archer, which is on Fox usually. It's a show I have the first three seasons, and I watch them probably more than zealously. But it's a very funny show. It's basically a spy parody comedy slash, I don't know what you'd really call it, just spy parody. And very good show. It's rated TVMA, so it is for mature audiences, but it's definitely, if you have a good sense of humor, you will probably like it a lot. Season 4 got done this year, and season 5 should be coming out sometime in January next year, usually. That's what they do.
All right, so just note viewer discretion advised on that, since it has that rating. So if you're probably a little bit younger, you don't want to watch this show.
Probably not.
All right. And Wikipedia describes it as a comedy drama based on spying.
So there you go.
There you go. Yes. All right. So what have we been up to? Duke, you want to go first or...
Sure. What have I been up to? Well, like I said earlier in the show, that's funny, Shane.
What?
Anyway, you spelled my name wrong.
Oops.
Anyway. I graduated back in May from college, and I had a job for the summer, but that expired, so again, I'm unemployed and looking for work. Mostly been playing RuneScape, and just a few other games, and not really much else. Just staying at home with the family right now.
All right.
All right, cool.
Well, you want to go next, or should I?
Nah, nothing happened to me this week.
Okay. Well, as for me, I got 79. Divination. Jeez, I can't say that skill name right. Still having troubles with it. 79 divination. Currently about 130,000 off of level 80. So I'm going to do that. Probably go for 82, then we'll see what all the other levels are at, if I want to continue with it for a bit. Just to put in a good effort for Skill of the Month. So that's mainly what I've been doing on RS, combined with a couple of the daily challenges and the super challenges as well. I completed my first 10 of them today, so I got the reward for that. And aside from that, just been working on some plans for the next RSBNB project, which, as I said, you'll be seeing by sometime in November. So look ahead to that.
Okay.
All right. You sure you don't want to mention anything else that's been going on with you this week?
Wow, what happened to me?
I don't know.
Nothing happened to me this week. I just went to work, went to classes, midterms happening. Remember, Duke, midterms everywhere.
Right in the first week, apparently.
Well, actually, this is my, like, third week or so.
Never had that happen in college, right a midterm in the first week. But I suppose some places could do that if they were really mean.
Yeah, that would be bad. But
although I don't know what you'd exactly put on there, I mean... Is syllabus? No. What is my contact email for 50 points?
I bet you 90% of students will fail that right away.
I bet you they would.
Yeah, and they'd also fail to write their name down, too.
Probably.
Oh, that has happened more than once. Not me. Oh, no. I'm actually one of those people who actually follow directions.
Yeah, your name is pretty short, too.
Oh, shut up.
I don't think they ever put in the directions to put your name down. I think it was just the name area, and they expected you to put it there. But
actually, a couple of my classes, because they're relatively kind of high up, yet you were supposed to put your name on every single page of the test because they actually supposed to take it apart and kind of have each TA grade it and then put it back together just for, you know, what's the word? Fairness sake. And some people didn't do it, so they got dock points.
All right, so midterms then. All right. Well, I think with that being said, we're done for this week's RSPB update. We'll be back next week. I'm not exactly sure what the topic will be, since it appears that the quest is not coming out this next week. But nonetheless, we will find something to talk about, and we will see you guys all next week. So thank you, Duke Juker, for coming on the show. You can read his articles once again at informer.rsbnb.com, and you can also find him at the weekly PC gaming events, which happen on Tuesday nights. More info on the forums for that. See you next week, everyone.
Bye.
Peace.